reading this morning in chapter 2, verses 23, but we'll be focusing on John 3, 16 to 21. This is God's holy, inspired, inerrant word. Give it now your full attention as it's read. And if you're able, in honor of God's word, please stand. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man. For he himself knew what was in man. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Since the reading of God's word, you may be seated. Let's ask his blessing on it. Father in heaven, we do ask this morning that you would bless us by your word, that you would help us to understand, and that you would help us to believe. Lord, we need your help in all things, and we do pray, Lord, that you would cause us to really and truly believe in Christ Jesus and to apply this truth of the gospel to our everyday lives. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, how many of you can recite John 3:16 from memory? Couple hands. Okay. Well, impromptu Bible quiz. Bet you weren't expecting that. Let's see who can do it. Who can quote John 3:16? I'll start us off. For God, excellent. Good job. You passed the test. Good job. What a wonderful verse to memorize and have hidden in your heart. Many of you do. It's right there. You have it. You know it. one time, maybe even still, it was the most well-known verse in the Bible. Sometimes we can grow weary of a verse like this because we know it so well. But do not grow weary of this verse. This is the gospel. It's often called the gospel in a nutshell. It's all there. Salvation based in God's sovereign love. Who's it for? For whoever believes in Christ Jesus, God's only begotten Son. Why? So that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. Why might we perish? Because we're sinners. We need a Savior, and this is Him. God so loved the world, His creation, that He shows us how far He was willing to go to redeem it. Now, He could have just scrapped it all. He could have wiped it all away. Adam failed. He sinned against God. Creation itself subjected to a curse because of his sin. Could have done away with it all. But instead, it pleased God, it glorified God to send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to save the world, a world plunged in darkness, plunged into sin. That's amazing. That is amazing. That is the wonder of the gospel. If you loved someone who was diagnosed with a very serious illness, terminal, they're going to die, unless a doctor comes to you and says, look, this is very serious, but it's curable. But let me tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take all the money you have and more. Would you be willing to give it all up to save that one you love? Most people would say yes, in a heartbeat. I'd do it. Immediately, whatever it takes, I'll give it up. It's worth it to save the one I love. Well, how about someone you hate? Would it be the same picture there? An arch enemy or rival, same situation. You have to give up everything you own and more to save them. Someone who hates your guts and has let you know that's the case. Would you give it up to save them? You would. Wow. That's rare. For me, probably not, because then I'd get to get rid of an enemy and keep my money as well. It's a win-win. Well, what do we see here with God's love of His world? Don't forget, this is God's world. It is He who made it. We are His creation, His creatures, upheld by the word of His power, created. He made it all very good. The one in whom there was no darkness at all. But it was marred by sin. And creation itself was subjected to a curse. And we were plunged into rebellion. We were haters of God. Rebellious against Him. We would not naturally love the Lord in our sin, in Adam. But God promised a Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Not be remaining in their sin, but could be freed from it. Freed from the tyranny of death and Satan. A promised Son who would crush the head of the serpent. The gospel is not just a few pious words to help you live a little bit better life. New Year's resolutions, a book with ideas of how to be a little bit better so you can get your life back on track. Be a better you. That's not what the gospel is about. It's the story of a world plunged into death and darkness and a God who came down to redeem it. A God who so loved that world that He sent His only begotten Son into the midst of it. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life, who is willing to die for all of His people. That is the story of the gospel, the story of a Lord who came down from heaven to to seek his church, to be his holy bride, bought with his own blood, to take him to be with him forever. That's the gospel. The good news of the gospel is what God has done for you because he loved you before the foundation of the world. He gave his only begotten Son for you. He is really and freely offered to you in this gospel. He's lifted up for you to see as the Son of Man, to believe in him. Do you believe in him? Have you come to him? Well, let's look this morning at this in 3 points. First, God's love and redemption. Second, salvation requirement. And third, judgment rendered. And the question to be asking yourself this morning is, do you view yourself and others in light of this truth, that God graciously gave his Son for the salvation of all who believe in him? Do you view yourself and others in light of this truth, that God graciously gave his Son for the salvation of all who believe in him? First, we'll look at God's love and redemption. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Just bask in that statement for a moment. Don't rush past it, because it should surprise and shock you. It's a shocking statement. God, after creating a world that was perfectly good, did not devote it to destruction, just punishment for Adam's sin immediately upon him sinning. Instead, he gave something of immeasurable worth, his own Son, promised one to come to save him. Infinite value and worth. Kids, what is the most valuable gemstone you can think of? What's the most valuable? The Lord. That's where I'm going. The most valuable treasure you can think of, maybe gold or diamonds, whole boxes of rubies, emeralds, precious stones. How about whole lands and kingdoms, value and worth? But there is not a diamond or treasure or kingdom or land that is more precious than the Son of God given for you. That is how much God loved you. There's no greater or more valuable thing in all the world. God the Father, in the gospel of his Son, he gives you himself through Christ Jesus, his sacrifice for our sins and his righteousness. He gives it to you. He clothes you with it, applies it to us by his Holy Spirit, so that we can have union and communion with him, a holy God, the living and active triune God. John has just said that people were coming to Jesus, that they were believing in his name and the things that he was doing, but that Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them. Why? Because it says that he knew what was in the hearts of man. He didn't need someone to bear witness about them. He already knew what was in their hearts. Nicodemus comes as an example of these kinds of people. A teacher sent, and he recognizes something about Jesus as a teacher from the Pharisees, that Jesus is a teacher sent from God, because the power to do these things he was doing is not possible for just a normal man. It can only come from God. But he did not appear to receive Jesus and believe on him, to believe in him, that he needed Jesus to save him. That provided ram. That provided lamb. Jesus said to him and the Pharisees, "You do not receive our testimony. And if you have not been born again of the Spirit, you do not understand earthly things. How can I speak to you of heavenly things?" But then he does, and he tells them, "The Son of Man must be lifted up. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Why? that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. Who is the Son of Man? That one prophesied in Daniel 7. It's Jesus. He's the Son of Man. The one who opens the door to heaven. He makes the way possible. He brings us back to God. He came to seek and to save us. Raises us again from the dead. And Jesus now, he sits bodily on his throne, having been raised again from the dead. He sits there, ruling and reigning. He's been there for the last 2,000 years, fully God, fully man, lifted up on the cross and lifted up into heaven. He's there for all who trust on him. You can trust on him. If you do, you will have eternal life. Listen, you can have that in your possession. It's a promise from the Lord. If you believe on the Lord Jesus, it's a promise. Eternal life now, promised and sure. Redemption, forgiveness. God has given it to you as a gift through his beloved Son. The gift is rooted in his love for you from before the foundation of the world. The charge is often leveled at God. God, how can you be good if all this evil is in the world? Evil things happen. Horrible, unspeakable evil things. Things we would shake and dare even to mention. Horrendous things. Shocking things. Maybe horrible things have happened to you in this world. How could a God of love allow that in a world made by him? Well, it was not always that way. This world was plunged into darkness and sin after Adam fell. But God has not left it darkened. He has sent his light into the world. Jesus Christ, this is how far he was willing to go to make every wrong right. He sent his Son, his only begotten Son, whom he loved perfectly before the foundation of the world, in eternity past, forever and ever, before time. He sent him to come down, to live a perfect life, fully human, yet still fully God in one person forever. He really suffered. He really lived. He really died. He was murdered. That's how serious our sin was. It required a sacrificial, atoning death. And Jesus did it. He laid down his life willingly. He wasn't forced to do it. He did it obediently to save you. Your name was written on his hands. He did it for us. Called us out of darkness. Transferred us to the kingdom of his Son. What kind of love is that? That is a love that is the greatest love you will ever know. How different would our lives be if every morning you spent a few moments before you got busy with your daily tasks, really reflecting on and believing that God, the God of the universe, this is how much he loved you. This is what he did for you. And he is with you. He strengthens you by the power of Christ. He gave himself for you, laid down his own life so that you might live. That's a promise from God. That will change your hours and your days and your years. It changes your life because it's the eternal life that he gives. Well, that brings us to our second point, the salvation requirement. What is required here? Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Who is the gospel for?
Everyone.
Everyone. That's right. Everyone. the scope of the whoever, the all. It's all-encompassing. The gospel is for everyone. It is a real offer of grace. All who believe will be saved, and all are called to believe. If you're asking yourself this morning, am I one who can receive this grace? Yes, you are. Come. It really means all. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everyone from all nations, tongues, and tribes. And that would have been very shocking and surprising to someone like Nicodemus, because he was looking for the physical kingdom of God in Israel, God's physical people, the Abraham's physical descendants through a line. But there was one offspring who was going to save the world, who was going to bless all the nations. We read about it this morning in Genesis. That one Abraham's offspring through whom all the nations would be blessed. It's Jesus. All the believing, all kinds of people who believe on Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a promise. If you have believed that, you have everlasting life in your possession right now. Freedom from the reigning power of sin. And though you die, yet shall you live eternally. This free offer of the gospel, it's another thing that's shocking about the gospel, because there are people who you might think, and I might think, don't deserve this kind of grace. They don't deserve to go to heaven, right? What about the really bad people out there, those people we love to hate? That favored list of politicians that you can pull out at a drop of a hat. Look at the wicked things these people do. Is the gospel for them? It is. And that is shocking. It is shocking that if even they, the very worst of the very worst people that you can think of, if they turn to this one, Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, they can come. They can have life in His name. That is what God did for us. We were in rebellion against Him. It's for everyone. All who would repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that promised Son. Grace for the most shocking of crimes is there if they look upon Jesus Christ to be healed. He is the only way of salvation. And here again, shockingly, Jesus says He did not come in judgment, particularly in this moment. He came to save all those who had come to Him. There is a time when Jesus will be coming primarily in judgment. But right now, there's still time to come, to be saved. He is calling people to Himself. If you're wondering, can I come? The answer is yes, come. Come to Jesus. He does not turn away any who would come to Him. Come to the light. Believe in His name by faith. This is really important. That means listen. Listen. This is really important. Do you believe the gospel? This matters for eternity. Are you believing on the name of Jesus Christ? It's not just going to make a difference in your week, although it will. It's not just going to make a difference in your life, although it will. It makes a difference forever where you will spend eternity, in heaven or in hell. It's of eternal significance. Do you come to the light? Believing on Christ, admitting your sin to Him. He already knows it. He knows you're a sinner. If you come to Him, He paid for your sins. This is the only way of salvation. And it's important to get right and understand. Whether you understand and come to Jesus by faith, it determines where you will spend eternity. God the Father has given His Son so that you might not perish, but have everlasting life. What mercy! Whoever believes, all who believe on Him, will be saved. They were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's for sinners, those who specifically have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's everyone. That's the world in darkness that Jesus came to save. Sinners, He came to save. But not all sinners come. All who believe are given undoubted deliverance, promised deliverance. Though Christ did not first come in judgment, there is one. This is it. It's on those who do not believe in His name as offered for salvation. He's there. It's offered. They are condemned already because they do not believe in the name of Christ crucified, held out to them. This brings us to our third point, judgment rendered, verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The rest of this text should make it abundantly clear that this does not teach universalism, that all people are saved. All people are not saved. Although the call to believe in Christ is universal, it's for everyone, all kinds of people. It is not universalism, universal salvation. Not everyone is born again. Not everyone, although they are called to, believes on this name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people who love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds and their works are evil. They would rather continue in that darkness rather than come. Those who are condemned, even though right now Jesus is not condemning them, He's saying, come. John Calvin says it's amazing. Christ, God Himself in Christ, is wooing the world, wooing those who are in sin, those who are rebellious. He's calling them to come, that they might not perish. That's tragic. It's tragic that there are those who would not come. C.S. Lewis in The Magician's Nephew talks about the white witch. He says this about her, that length of days with an evil heart is only length of misery. People who do not come to Christ, they are not happy. Sometimes we can be tempted to think they have it better. You know, they can go to brunch on Sunday morning. They don't have to get the kids ready. They can have a nice, relaxing morning. They can be selfish. They can take a load off. They can have all kinds of sin that God doesn't allow us to have. They can do whatever they want. Glorious. It's not. It's a life of misery. It's a life of darkness. The love of God is distinguishing. Christ is offered to all, and that means all. All who believe on Him will be saved. All are offered salvation. But not everyone's going to heaven. Only those who believe in Christ by faith. And that should make us all the more zealous to share our faith, to share this truth, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. You have it memorized. You can pull it out at the drop of a hat. You know it. Tell people. Share the gospel with people who do not know the love of God. They're in darkness. They should come to Christ. Memorize this verse. Tell them, did you know what God did for the world, for people like you and me? Here's what He did. He sent His Son into the world to seek and to save the lost, so that all who believe on Him might have life in His name. There is life in His name. Remember that gospel. what would it look like if you believed that gospel every day in your life? If you looked at others in light of this gospel, that God sent His Son, that any, all who believe on Him might be saved. That should change your life, and it should change how you view others. Christ is the righteousness of God given for us. And we were made to hear His voice as His sheep if we come to Him. Why would others not come? That's perplexing for those of us who are in Christ. As the hymn says, why was I made to hear your voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? Don't continue in length of days with an evil heart and an endless length of misery. That's all it is. It's misery. Deliverance from it has been provided in Christ. Turn to Him. Believe on Him. It's a promise from the Lord that if you do, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And nothing in all creation can separate you from that love of God in Christ. That work, if it was begun in you, God will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful and amazing God we serve. What a gospel. Jesus really and truly cares for you. He's with you. He shepherds you. He died for you. He lived for you. He's your Lord, your God, your King, and your friend. There are not words enough to express the glory and mercy and height of what God has done for us in Christ. Praise the Lord for His gospel and believe it. Believe it. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray that You would put Your gospel deep into our hearts. Lord, help us to live in light of it. Help us to share it with those who are in darkness, who love the darkness. And Lord, we pray that You might save them, that You would be pleased as You have called us out of darkness into light, that You would call them out as well. Many who do not know Your name here in Prince William County, those who are our friends and neighbors, even, Lord, those who we do not like, who do wicked things, then we hate the wicked things that they do. Lord, save them. Call them out of darkness. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.